chapter 25, we come to Abraham passing off the scene. Kind of sad. I've kind of fallen in love with Abraham more than ever through these months. And then it'll just be till we meet again. And that may not be in the far distant future. We'll get to be with him. But it tells us here in verse 1, it says, "Then again, Abraham took a wife. Her name was Keturah." So at this point, Sarah's been dead about 20 years. Isaac and Rebecca are married, probably not living with Abraham. No doubt there is a certain amount of loneliness there in his life. And no doubt he remembers God telling him to go out and look at the dust, because the generations that come from you are going to be like the dust of the earth. If you can count the dust, then in chapter 15 he tells him, go out and look at the stars. Your progenitors will be like the stars of heaven. And, you know, he made a specific prophecy about Ishmael, who will come to Abraham, has a sense, I would believe, of some responsibility. He has one son from Sarah, and the son Ishmael from Hagar, and yet God has spoken to him a number of times about the nations of the world and the multitudes would come. So in his human nature, is he lonely? I don't know. He takes this wife. It tells us in 1 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 32, that Keturah was the concubine of Abraham. Now, it doesn't tell us here that he took her as a concubine while Sarah was still alive. He took Hagar by Sarah's urging, and it seemed that Abraham loved Sarah, and that didn't happen. But at this point, Sarah is gone from the scene. Abraham now will marry Keturah and be with her for the next 35 years till the Lord takes him. Her name is Incense, and no doubt she filled Abraham's tent in his latter years with a sweetness and an odor that was in keeping with her name. We don't know her nationality. We don't know her parents. But Abraham wouldn't allow Isaac to marry one of the Canaanite women, so we assume that she was not a Canaanite. But she comes on the scene. Here's Abraham in his old age, still desiring to do the things that the Lord would have for him to do. So we are told in the Psalms, it says this. It says, "O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come." Again, it tells us this in the Psalms, "Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing." So Abraham, though 140 years old, is not through living with God, living for God, and accomplishing things, you know, in regards to God's calling. So he takes this wife at this point in time, Keturah, in his old age. Verses 2 to 4 kind of give us, there's six sons of Keturah mentioned here, seven grandsons and three great-grandsons in two verses. That's quite an undertaking. So be with me as I stumble through the names here. It says, she bare unto him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, who will find Jethro, the chieftain in Midian, becomes the father-in-law of Moses, who marries his daughter Zipporah from Midian. Ishbak, Shua, we're told in Job chapter 2, verse 11, is where Bildad came from. Jokshan, and he begot Sheba and Dedan, which you're seeing on the news today. Ezekiel chapter 38 in verse 13 tells us that when Russia and Iran and Turkey invade Israel, you have to use your imagination that this could ever happen, that Sheba and Dedan, the ships of Tarshish, and all the young lions thereof are going to say to them, why are you doing this? Are you come to take a spoil? So as we're watching the president in Saudi Arabia signing all these deals, you know, Syria's not mentioned in that attack. Iraq, they're both conspicuous by their absence, but we see the very nations lining up that Ezekiel names, and Ezekiel says that Sheba and Dedan will be standing with the young lions saying, what are you doing? Why is this invasion taking place? So we're watching all of that lined up in the news today. Here are the progenitors. Sheba and Dedan, and were Asherim, Lethashim, who would name your kid that? And the sons of Midian, Ephah, Epher, Hanok, Adidah, Eldah, all these were the children of Keturah. So six sons, they're mentioned on purpose. And then the chapter ends naming the 12 tribes that came from Ishmael. So we have Keturah's sons and Ishmael's sons surrounding the death of Abraham. And God, you know, kind of broods over and lingers over, more than any death we've encountered so far in the scripture, the passing of Abraham. So it tells us in verse 5 that Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. We're going to see, and you know, Eliezer, when he went to get a bride for Isaac, told her family, Laban and so forth, that Abraham had given everything he had to Isaac. So it's understood that Isaac is the promised son, and he inherits the main portion of everything. But, verse 6, a contrast, unto the sons of the concubines, plural, which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away, separating them from Isaac his son, while he yet lived. Wisely, Abraham is taking care of these things while he's still alive, so he can pass the baton. Wisely, all of us should think through those kinds of things. He sent them away eastward to the east country. Now, any of the sons in the Old Testament of a full wife, Sarah was his full wife. She was his complete wife. The sons of the full wife, they would inherit a definite portion because of the position they had in the family. If you were the son of the wife of Abraham or the father, you had a full inheritance. If you were the son of a concubine, you were completely dependent on the goodwill of your father. And Abraham here mentions the concubines. No doubt it's mentioning Hagar, and Keturah, we're specifically told, is one of his concubines. That he's giving them a portion. Abraham wants them, and no doubt at this point in time too, I believe he also gave something to Ishmael. Ishmael had been driven out through Sarah. You got to get rid of it. Ishmael was 14, 15, left with Hagar, and all Abraham gave was bread and water. And it seems at this point Ishmael is back for his burial, reunited with Isaac, and probably at this point Abraham makes sure that he receives as well, So the sons of the concubines then receive a portion enough to leave flocks and herds and so forth to start a life and to begin the tribes that will come from them. And as we look at the world today, remarkably, the descendants of Ishmael and Keturah's sons, the descendants of Lot, of Esau, of Shem and of Ham, the Muslim world, the Arabic world, we see everywhere today. And God has blessed them, you know, the oil, the resources they have, the wealth, and the things that they brought to the world during the Middle Ages and so forth, math and different sciences and things. So God has blessed them. God has a plan for them. And there are several places where God speaks about them that he will bless them. And there is a day ahead of us when Ishmael, as it were, and Isaac will be reunited again in the kingdom. So interesting here to look at this. He gives to the sons of the concubines gifts, and then he sends them away to the east country. And then it tells us this: these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived 175 years. 175 years he lived. Abraham gave up the ghost. He died in a good old age, an old man, full. King James says full of years. The Hebrew just says he's full. He's satisfied. He's satiated. His life is full and blessed. An old man and full. And then it says, for the first time in the Bible, he was gathered unto his people. So Abraham here, remarkably, we're told he lived out his years a day at a time. God says these are the days of his years. And for you and I, God is with us every day, and he watches the way we live every day. And he sees our years as days. We live out the days of our years. 175 years old, that's 63,000 days that Abraham had lived. After his conversion at 75, he lived 36,000 days as a believer. And for 100 years, he's been a pilgrim in the land of sojourn here, as we look at it. At this point, Isaac is 75 years old. Ishmael is 90 years old, 14 years older than his brother. Jacob and Esau are both 15, so Abraham dies full. He got to see Isaac having sons. Interesting, at this point, Eber, the son, the grandson of Shem, 460 years old, the son of Noah, the grandson of the son of Noah. And Abraham himself was born 2 years after Noah died. So all of that, you know, probably back to Eden, you know, Enoch, you know, Seth, you know, all of those years, Noah and his sons, a fresh history that Abraham no doubt knew well and had come into the light when he met the true and the living God. Here it tells us he lived out his days a certain way. Look, it tells us this in the Psalms. David will say to us, he says, Lord, make me to know mine end, when my life will end, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail that I am. Make me to know the number of my days, that I might know how frail I am. That's a wonderful thing to keep in mind. Moses would write in Psalm 90, teach us to number our days, that we can apply our hearts to wisdom. Jesus said to us, when you pray, pray this way: give us this day our daily bread. And God sees the value of the day. Today is a day. You're living and you're breathing. You got up and you came to church. It's a day you're going to gripe about things you shouldn't gripe about. It's a day you're going to do some good things that you want on your report card. It's a day when God may say to you, there's someone you need to forgive that you haven't forgiven. But the point is, all of us here are going to live out our days. No one here is going to live a day too long. No one here is going to die a day too early. Psalm 139 says all of our days are already written. And when God takes a loved one, there's no secondary causes. It's not, oh, if we'd have found a better doctor, if we'd have done this. No, it was written. There's a day. There's one with my name on it. There's one with your name on it. And until that day, we get to live out our days. And many times there are days of years that we get to live. But God sees us living out our life a day at a time. Wonderfully, these are the days of the years of Abraham's life. 175 years. That's quite a good life. And then it says this, that Abraham gave up the ghost. I like that. He wasn't struggling. He wasn't fighting for life at 175. He gave up. There's, you know, certainly it's a Hebrew idiom for dying, but there is an inference in it that he relinquished. He let go. Everybody does that. I watched my mom and my dad. Finally, you know, you're breathing your last. You have that great sense, but you've never gone to the other side. So there's a kind of a tension in it. You have to say to them, you can let go. We'll be here. We're going to come and see him. But Abraham gave up the ghost. He let go. And because he understood, he had lived this full life. He had lived every day for the last 100 years as a pilgrim with his God. Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it. So Abraham, as he's letting go, he knows there's something in front of him. Abraham was a man who sought that city whose builder and maker was God, and he lived in tents. He never settled down because he was looking for something else. So Abraham gave up the ghost. It tells us this in the book of Hebrews. It says there, these all, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and not only seen them, were persuaded of them, and not only persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims, not in Palestine, not in Israel, on the earth. You and I are strangers and pilgrims on this ball of dirt. It's not our destiny. On the earth, it says, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek literally a fatherland. And truly, if they had been mindful of the country that they came out of, they had opportunity to return. It wasn't Ur of the Chaldees that he longed for. It says, but now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. So Abraham gave up the ghost. It was time. He let go. And God collected his old friend. Collected his old friend. What was it like when he took him to the other side? You know, when we lose someone, of course, our hearts are broken. It isn't that we don't believe. You know, it isn't that we don't understand where they go. But on this side, the chemistry is different for us than it is for him. On this side, then, there's an empty seat at the table. Holidays, birthdays, vacations, whatever it might be, there's that empty seat. And there's a pain that goes with it. Not doubt, not lack of faith. It just hurts. But on the other side, God welcomes his old friend home. And he's able to sit down there and the table. That seat is now full. Wonderfully. It says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. We have the whole thing wrong. We like to see the wicked die, and we hate to see the righteous die. It says he loves it when the righteous come home, and he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And here, Abraham, breathing his last, it says he gives up the ghost. I like that, the ghost, the thing that was living in his body. And it says he dies at a good old age. The Lord had spoken to Abraham about promises that he made, and he said, thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. And here, decades later, it's a reality. He dies at a good old age, gives up the ghost, it's in peace. And he died in this good old age, it says, an old man and full, not just full of years. He's full. Abraham is blessed at this point in time. He's full. His life has been full. His days of the years have been full. He looks up from his deathbed. No doubt Keturah is there. Her heart must be broken. They've been married for 35 years. But he looks up and Ishmael and Isaac are there. Ishmael is 90. Isaac 75. His sons have reunited. That's a fullness to him. Abraham knew that he was going to be laid next to his princess, Sarah. That was a fullness. He knew there were promises that were going to be fulfilled. It says he died in a good old age, a man that was full. And then for the first time in the Bible it says he was gathered to his people. Now he gave up the ghost, but he didn't do the gathering. When you're gathered, somebody else is doing the gathering. It tells us this in Isaiah 57. The righteous perishes, and no man lays it to heart. Merciful men are taken away, none considering. The righteous is taken, and both places taken away is the same phrase, gathered. The righteous is taken away from evil to come. It says when good people, merciful people, die, they're taken away. The same phrase, they're gathered. It's because God knows there's greater evil if they would stay here. And that's why their days were numbered from the first place. And God gathers them. Isaiah 57, he takes them. It says here, he was gathered, and then remarkably to his people. That's not the folks back in Ur, the Chaldees. It's not Sarah. There's only one body in the grave. That's not his people. Abraham being gathered to his people, no doubt, is being gathered to Adam and to Abel, you know, to Shem, to Noah, to Enoch, to those who have died in faith. Being gathered to that family. And the Bible speaks to us about that. He's being gathered to an eternal situation. And if you're gathered to your people, it's a reunion. Look, you and I are going to be gathered to my mom and dad, my uncles. I think of people that have gone ahead of me, dear friends. And when it's time for me to go, I hope God, by his grace, allows me to give up the ghost and to be gathered to my people. And I'm going to be gathered to more of my people than Abraham was gathered to his. He had a decent crowd. I got multitudes. They're going to be cheering when I come home. Multitudes. Multitudes. A story about a missionary coming home from Africa, getting to New York Harbor, and one of the presidents had been on the ship, and New York was crazy. Parades and fireworks and confetti, everything, the president come home. And the missionary said to his wife, look at us, here we do, laboring for decades and decades, and we come home, there's nobody here. And she said, honey, this is not home. There is a parade, you know. It's come gathered to his people. He knew there was life. We find him in Luke chapter 16 with Lazarus and the rich man. Lazarus dies, and then the rich man. And we hear the rich man say, "Father Abraham," on the other side. Abraham's not with him down in Hades. It says up and afar off. He sees Abraham. And he says, "Can you dip your finger in water? I'm parched in this place. It's burning." And Abraham says, "No, there's a gulf fixed between us. It can't be crossed." And then the rich man says, "My brothers, would somebody go and tell them this is all real?" And Abraham says, "They have Moses and they have the prophets." Moses lived after Abraham. He knows about it. They have Moses and the prophets. If they're not willing to listen to them, neither will they believe if someone rises from the dead. If people are not listening, if they won't listen to the word of God, neither will they believe if someone rises from the dead. The Pharisees and the Sadducees proved that. They paid off the Roman guards and made them say the disciples stole the body. They weren't willing to believe that he had risen from the dead. So we see Abraham there, still alive. We see Jesus in the course with the scribes. They asked him a ridiculous question about the woman who married seven brothers, who would have her in the resurrection. And Jesus answered, "You neither know the scripture nor the power of God." And he said, "In the resurrection, we neither marry or given in marriage." And he says, "There it says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Not I was. "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. And Jesus there says Abraham is alive. Jesus, amazed at the centurion having faith, saying, "You need only speak the word, my servant will be healed," and says Jesus marveled. Only two times in the gospel he marvels. You find the other place yourself. It says he marveled at that faith, and he said, "I haven't found this kind of faith in Israel." He said, "But the day's coming. Many are going to come from the east and the west and sit down at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." What a day we have ahead of us, huh? What a day. I'll be the guy with dark hair. No glasses. It'll take you a while. I'll introduce myself. You don't recognize me, but gather to our people. Look, question today, if you're here and you're not a Christian, how are you going to face death? Are you going to fight for it? Yeah, let them do one more thing. Try one more thing. You know, in fear, because you're going to be gathered to your people. The question is, who are your people? Because on one side of the chasm, there are those who have died in faith and believe in God and trust Jesus Christ for their salvation. Those are the people I'm being gathered to. On the other side are those that are in torment for eternity. What people will you be gathered to? You can make the choice now. You're listening to this morning. God loves you. He put this on record because he wants us to take it to heart. He wants us to watch this saint, this man, give up the ghost. Take care of affairs, but he's ready to go. It says that he was the friend of God. He had lived out all of his days, though they amounted to years. And then when it was time, God gathered him. And he was gathered to his people, it says wonderfully. And his sons, it says, Isaac, notice, and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar, the Hittite, which is before Mamre. So here we have Ishmael returns. Isn't it funny that sometimes it takes the death of someone close to us or a parent for siblings or people that have been divided or disengaged to come back together again? Sometimes it takes death. And believers that should be forgiving and loving one another realize at that point, this is what it's all about. We're so stupid that we've been arguing, we haven't been kind to each other, haven't forgiven each other. So many times, those differences and hurts are buried in the grave with a loved one. It can be a wonderful time. And we see Ishmael and Isaac here. brought back together again. What was that like when they first met eyes? Because he had mocked Isaac when he was 3 years old. He was 14 or so, sent away with bread and water, with nothing. But he's flourished. And now he's back here. The death of Abraham has brought him back. He had gotten word that he was sick. Abraham's dying a full death, looking up, seeing his two boys. Because Abraham always loved Ishmael. Looks up and sees his two boys together. What a full life. How remarkable. Even that kind of token of God's faithfulness, breathing your last. What a wonderful picture we see here. We don't know what that ceremony was like. Keturah, no doubt, is there weeping. No doubt, local chieftains, you know, Hittites and Philistine and Canaanite, who had known Abraham as the Prince of God, were there gathered to pay their respects. No doubt Abraham's camp, which was huge, multitudes standing there in silence with tears. And no doubt Ishmael and Isaac and several close friends are bearing the body of Abraham through the middle of that crowd and taking it into the cave there in Machpelah. Verse 10, the field which Abraham purchased of the sons of Heth, there was Abraham buried and Sarah, his wife. He's being laid next to his princess, Sarah. And they're getting up soon. They are still there. They are ashes. She had been dead over 20 years. She was ashes by the time they put him in there. And they are still in that cave. It's a historical site. The remains are still there. And when the Lord comes, they're going to be raised. And you'll be able to sit at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You'll be able to ask them any questions that you want to ask them. You'll be there for eternity with them in the city that Abraham sought. But what a day this must have been, as he's carried and laid to rest there with his bride. And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac. This is kind of a parenthesis opening up the next portion of Genesis now, which is the life of Isaac. And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac. And Isaac dwelt, he was settled down, he came to rest that by the well Lahairoi, the well Lahairoi, given its name by Hagar. It's where God revealed himself to Hagar, and it's the well of the one who lives and sees me. That's a well that you and I should draw from every day. When we feel like we're being mistreated or misunderstood or we're struggling with something or we're ill or we're betrayed, whatever it might be, there's a well that we can draw from. And it's the well of the one who lives and sees me, watches over me. What a well that is. And somehow Isaac settles down. Seven times we read about him in regards to a well. Abraham went down to Egypt and came back. Jacob would go back to Paddan Aram and work for Laban for years. Isaac never leaves the country, never one steps out of the promised land, and settles down at these wells. Gives us this picture here. 12. Now, these are the generations. Now, that's the Teledoth. The record of the generations, 10 times in the book of Genesis. These are the generations of Ishmael. Notice it says Abraham's son. So all these generations are Abraham's grandsons. It says who Hagar, the Egyptian, Sarah's maid, bare unto Abraham. So it's putting Ishmael in a particular context there, that he in fact is the son of Abraham through Hagar. And then these are the names. That's what it says. These are the names of the sons of Ishmael. I'm going to read through them. You read through these names, you think these are just sounds that somebody made up. These are not names. These are the names of the sons of Ishmael by their names according to their generations. The first of Ishmael, Nebajoth, and Kedar, Abdiel, Mitsam, Mishma, Duma, Masa, Hadar, Tima, Jetur, Naphish, Jedma. Those are not names, those are sounds. Now, by the way, on your own, it's significant to go through the names of the sons of Keturah and the names of the sons of Ishmael, because there's something to be said and something revealed. We don't have time to do it in their names. It's wonderful and it's beautiful. But then it says, these are the sons of Ishmael. These are their names by their towns. Their territories were named after them, like the sons of Keturah, and by their encampments. 12 princes according to their nations. Now, wonderfully, God had said to Abraham, he said, as for Ishmael, when God said you're going to have a son, Isaac, and Abraham said, well, let Ishmael be blessed. God said, as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. God said that long before it happens. It says these are the names of the 12 princes according to their nations. Now, interestingly, in verse 17, it says, now these are the years of the life of Ishmael. 137 years. Very unusual for a non-Israelite in the Old Testament to have his years recorded. It is because he is Abraham's son, no doubt. But it tells us here that Ishmael lived to be 137. That's, you know, exceptional. It hardly happens, you know, as you go through this. He outlives Abraham by 40 years. And it says, after that, notice this, please. He gave up the ghost. He was content to relinquish himself. Was he a believer? I believe he was. It says then he was gathered to his people. Understand, this is a circumcised son of Abraham. He had lived in the camp with Abraham for 14, 15 years. He had gone to the altar and watched sacrifice with Abraham. He understood that his father Abraham was a pagan from Ur of the Chaldees and that he had come to meet the true and the living God. He understood his mother was a pagan from Egypt. And in chapter 16 at the well of Lahairoi, she had come to meet the true and living God, who told her, you're pregnant, you're a child, you're going to name him Ishmael. So even though, you know, they were kind of driven out of the camp, Hagar must have said to him, because as he's dying there of thirst, it says, God says, I heard his prayers to me. Ishmael was crying out to the living God at that point. And his mom's a believer. His dad's a believer. And again, I believe Hagar said, son, your dad loved you. This was a bad situation with Sarah and I, and then you were making fun of Isaac, the son of promise. Must have told him his whole life, your father loved you. Abraham is your father. He loves you. And in the scene, Ishmael comes back. Him and Isaac are together. Amazing. How human. How human. And how amazing. And then it says of Ishmael as well, you know, the son of a broken home, raised without his dad. No doubt there are plenty here this morning from broken homes, raised without a father, that can hear about the living God from their mother, or vice versa. And you as well, as you come to faith, can be gathered to your people. What a day that will be, amen. It's ahead of us. of the musicians come, we'll end, we'll say a prayer together, and then the end of the service. Look, if you don't know this God, if you don't know what's going to happen to you when you slip into the darkness, when you take your last breath, it's unavoidable, except for the rapture. For every 100 people born, 100 people die. And right now, God wants to be in your life, the living God who sees as you're living out your years a day at a time. He will be with you that intimately. If you've never come to Him, you've never asked Christ for forgiveness of sins, then you're going to be gathered to a different group. We are all going to be gathered to our people when this is over. And our people is either people like you that rejected God's love and forgiveness, or people who accepted God's love and forgiveness. Either way, you'll be gathered to your people. So I encourage you, as we finish today, let's stand, we'll end with a song. If you don't know Christ, you don't know God's love and forgiveness, I encourage you to come forward. You can come while we're worshiping. You can come at the end and repent. Turn away from your sin. Turn to God. Ask His forgiveness. Understand, He took, Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees. He was a pagan. He worshipped other gods. You know, he took Hagar from Egypt and revealed Himself to her. A pagan. Worshipped other gods. All of us He took from those places. And He's willing to take you from those places today and reveal Himself. If you'll come, repent of your sins, ask forgiveness. We'll pray. Then let's worship. Lord, I know You've overheard. We look to You. We put these things before You. And Lord, certainly we pray for any here today that don't know You, that would change today, Lord. You're looking for them. You know all of their days. You know this day, Lord. By Your grace, Lord, You're the one who adds to the church daily such as should be saved. Do that in our midst today. And Lord, for all of us, make us wise. Let us live out our days in wisdom. Let us be able, Lord, if You tarry when the time comes, to give up the ghost, to relinquish into Your hands, to be gathered. Your love, Your forgiveness, Your grace, Your friendship. And Lord, we pray these things in Your name. Allow us to garner out of these truths what You'd have us have as individual sons and daughters. We pray in Your name. Amen. Amen.